Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And now, are you effing kidding me? With JoJo from Juries.
On paper, I'm a Christian, so I don't judge anyone by how undisciplined or unholy they are in their private lives. But I'm from Jersey, and everyone in the country kind of hates us, so I'm still going to judge. It's a state residency requirement, after all. I'll judge you for being blissful in your ignorance. I'll judge you for being a bigot. I'll judge you for rooting for the Jets. I'll judge you for driving too slow in the passing lane like an effing asshole. And you know I'll judge you for calling Taylor ham pork roll. But if you transgress according to a Bible verse, I don't know, I'm A, not going to know you did, and B, I'm not going to give a fuck. Unless you happen to be one of those people, like Marge, who wants the rest of us to know how you judge us, how the good book you say you embody, and very much do not, casts aspersions on us. Unless you daily blabber on about how disappointing our words and actions and desire to expand human rights, embrace cultural differences, and protect American democracy must be to God. So disappointing, according to the Jewish space laser lady, who contentedly let Ukrainians die, let the Capitol Police get bear sprayed, and let the American children starve, that she believes he has unleashed earthquakes and eclipses upon the world to punish us. For what? Well, we don't exactly know, aside from the fact that it wouldn't happen under Trump and didn't happen under Trump, despite the fact that it very much did. Yep, it's time, folks, time to repent. The serial philanderer, habitual liar, and bigoted blaspheme herself said so. And the fact that the Earth and the Sun and the Moon did things the Earth and the Sun and the Moon have always done proves it. Because the spork-footed Jewish space laser lady is an expert on everything from gazpacho police to peach tree dishes. So of course she's qualified to make assertions such as these. Shit, she's practically Play-Doh. Or rather, Play-Doh. And look, as mentioned before, I live in Jersey, so I'd be lying my ass off if I told you that I didn't flinch when my entire house started to shake like Don Jr. before a podcast recording after Dr. Ronnie Jackson visits. Between us, don't tell anyone, I freaked the fuck out a little, okay? More than a little. I had no idea what it was until it was over. And within a matter of seconds, all my Jersey mom girlfriends started texting, "What the fuck was that? Was that a fucking earthquake? What the actual fuck?" The truth is that we aren't earthquake people. I mean, we don't pump our own gas here, okay? And that's not to say we ain't tough, because saying shit like that'll get you killed here. We're just not the shaky tectonic plate kind of tough. That's California's job. They gave us avocado toast too, and we're bagel people. You know, so we've had enough of their influence as it is. And as an aside to all the people in California who earthquake-shamed us Garden Staters for a measly 4.8, I say this. When you can drive 2 miles in a light rain without causing a pileup on the 405, let's talk. Ain't no shame in my earthquake game. I'll readily admit, I had all sorts of seriously wacky thoughts in the midst of it about what was happening, not the weirdest of which was that my furnace was about to lift off into space like an Apollo mission as a result of some unforeseen heating calamity. But I never, not once, not one time, thought to myself, ah, yes, God is mad. He wants us to know it, and he wants us to repent. Not once. Because it's bullshit, because it's the year 2024, and because I'm not a fucking idiot. And when that bullshit is coming from a serial adulter CrossFit courtesan, then you know, pretty much goes to 11. And I'm gonna call it out, because for one, it's stupid, and for two, because the pardon-seeking, traitorous idiot who said it sure as shit shouldn't be talking about the actions of others when it comes to repenting. And if, and that's a bigly if, the New Jersey earthquake was an act of an unhappy God who wanted us to heed it as a warning to repent, then maybe, just maybe, making the epicenter of the thing the back nine at his Gilded Golf Club in Bedminster would be the most definitive indicator of all. And if we're really going to talk about signs from God, maybe, just maybe, we should consider the fact that earthquakes and eclipses happen all the time, but a once-in-a-lifetime global pandemic, which has claimed the lives of more than a million Americans, doesn't. And the sociopathic shit for brains who was at the helm at that time was none other than Donald Trump. Occurs to me, that would be a slightly more telling sign of displeasure from the Almighty. But then again, I'm a shitty Christian, and I know stop signs and baseball signs and zodiac signs, but I don't know fuck all about signs from God. Of course, I'm also being logical and rational, and I'm citing these silly little things called facts, which are like kryptonite to the likes of Sporkfoot Green. I'm also not particularly prone to cloaking myself in religion to scare or coerce people into believing my BS, and I have absolutely no interest in using God as a tool of political propaganda or to advance some hateful, evil agenda. Believe it or not, people who do stuff like that represent everything God says not to do and not to be. Not to mention just how mind-numbingly stupid it is to discount actual science in favor of some dogmatic, close-minded, fundamentalist cave person bullshit like, God mad, shake earth. But it wouldn't be the first time Marge has been deceitful and duplicitous. She's as sanctimonious and self-righteous as the day is long, and the fact that she thinks she's fooling us with her bullshit piety and moral superiority act speaks to just how stupid and lacking in self-awareness she really is. The earthquake in New Jersey was scary at first, but we all eventually settled into the reality that it hadn't done any damage and we were all okay. So ultimately, it was pretty cool. The eclipse was very cool. And while the sex-crazed STD cicadas, which are rumored to be coming by the trillions, no pun intended, in the months ahead are decidedly not cool, none of this has a damn thing to do with God's whims of mood. And if Marge was truly devout and not a hypocritical and hateful idiot, she'd know that. My guest this week is Ron Filipowski. Ron is like a regular now and also a friend, obviously. Ron is the editor-in-chief at MidasTouch.com. He's also the co-host of the Uncovered podcast. He is very, very, very well-versed on all things MAGA, all things Trump, all things legal matters, and his insight is invaluable. We have a conversation about a lot of things, about Trump not being the law and order president, about John Kelly standing up and speaking out, about the facades that Trump creates around his events, how it's all predicated on a lie. And then we kind of catch up with what's going on with the election interference trial that starts on Monday. I have learned not to call it the hush money trial because that sort of undermines the fact that it is really about election interference, because that's why he paid Stormy the hush money when he did. So we talked about that as well. And it's just always great to have him on. I enjoyed this conversation as I always do, and I'm sure you will too. Welcome back to the Are You Effing Kidding Me podcast, my friend, Ron Filipowski. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Joe, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm a little under the weather, so I apologize if I sound like I've just chain smoked for the last 3 days. I'll just say I'm channeling my inner Demi Moore because this is very uncomfortable, but I'm good. How are you?
Hanging in there, always busy trying to catch a little bit of the Masters.
Oh, yeah.
In between politics. So, yeah, I'm a big golf fan. So,
my dad's bucket list, I mean, my dad, rest in peace, he golfed whenever possible, if every day if possible, was to go to the Masters, and he never made it there. But yeah, have you been?
No.
Oh,
never someday. Have been. I wish I could, but no.
Yeah, I was just on a retreat, which I mentioned before we were recording, and one of the fellow retreaters, I don't know if that's the word you use, was from Georgia, and she's from, is it Athens? Where is it?
Athens is near Augusta. Yeah.
So it's Augusta. Yeah.
Augusta. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. She's from a neighboring town and she's grown up with it. You know, she's been going to it for she had been. And she said it's really hard. It's harder than ever now to get tickets. But she thinks people just come into town thinking they'll just get tickets like it's nothing. She's like, No,
they have like a lottery and everything. Yeah, it's very difficult and expensive.
Yeah.
Although I guess once you get there, it's not expensive because they priced all the food exactly the same as it was priced like 50 years ago. Huh. So like burgers and stuff are like $1, $1.50 for real.
Wow. Yeah. See,
so once you get there, I think it's okay. But you buy any clothes or anything, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, know? That's what she said too. She's like, the pro shops, like that's yeah.
And but the food is cheap.
Well, so if you're going to eat and not so much to shop, if you go to the Masters, not to take anything home with you other than maybe heartburn, then that's the way to go. But that also just a side note, like Liv doesn't have their hands on the Masters at all, right? Like that's one thing they don't touch.
Well, all the Liv players are in it. So because they all qualified various ways. So yeah, some of them are in, they're not connected to it in any way. No. But the players themselves are playing in it. Interestingly enough, most of them are doing pretty badly.
Oh, good.
In the Masters, except for a couple guys. So
good. Yeah. Because that's still to this day, it's always going to bother me because never forget 9/11. Okay, sure. We'll sign up with you guys. But we'll keep an eye on the Masters. I don't know the first thing about golf anymore. Once upon a time I did. But I will say that when I did, when my dad was an avid fan and I was watching on Sundays while he was snoring on the couch because like we had one TV, Jack Nicklaus was like one of those guys that I wrote a book report on him when I was in second grade because I was like, he's got blonde hair and he looks so nice and he's so good at golf. And now he's freaking not just a Trumper. He's like a Kim Jong-un style fawning type of Trumper. And I'm jumping all over, but we'll stay on golf for 1 second because I had forgotten that this happened. But you've documented it very well, lots of videos and stuff. So Trump, of course, bragged about how he won another tournament at his own golf course. But Jack was part of the tournament. So Trump is essentially saying he beat him?
No, I mean, he's saying that he won the club championship. And the senior club championship.
Oh, okay.
So what he claims is that not only did he win like the 60 plus division at 77, but he's also claiming he won the whole championship, including the young guys. He won the whole thing.
Oh.
So they had then he holds an award dinner for himself. So I was, of course, covering that. And so lo and behold, who walks into the lobby? Jack Nicklaus. He had Jack Nicklaus there to give him the trophy, to hand him the trophy, which I posted the video of that and everybody went nuts. So, yeah, it's pretty sad to see him kind of go down that spiral of getting very Trumpy over the last few years.
Yeah, I don't understand why anybody sees any utility in that at any point, but especially when you have a reputation like his, like I just don't see the point. But, you know, John Voight is among them, and not that he had a reputation necessarily to protect, but he's also always down there sort of like, you know, genuflecting to the dear leader.
He was down there 2 days ago. Yep.
He looks like shit, which is fine with me. He looks like a seriously like old man.
Now. Really?
Like,
old. Yeah, he's aged a lot. Yeah. I met him like 10 years ago at a Republican event.
Oh, really?
Here in Sarasota, and talked to him a little bit outside, and he's aged a lot. Yeah.
Hate'll do that to you. But switching topics because this is just breaking because of you. Thank you very much. And Midas Touch. You guys are breaking a story about the Chick-fil-A in Atlanta, because this went a little bit viral. It was his standard, like, you know, fast food place visit, but it wasn't obviously for this one reason, which is that there was a young black girl there who was like, I don't care what anybody says. We're with you. We love you. And he ended up hugging her, looking so human and sweet. But why don't you tell us a little bit about what you learned about her and that?
And, you know, Fox has been running that like 24/7 on every one of their shows for like 2 days, that this shows that the black community is rallying around Trump. Right. So what we know, and we've documented this pretty well, is that all of these events are fake and they're all staged. I mean, this all goes all the way back to him having the Blacks for Trump guys, you know, sitting behind him at all. Like they're just traveling around the country on their own, you know, paying for their own way. Right. Just because they love Trump, supposedly. They're going to all his rallies and they just so happen to get the seats every single time right behind him. So they can be on camera wearing their shirts, right? It's purely coincidental.
So random.
So, I mean, I've documented the pattern. He does the exact same thing every single event for 18 months, every single time. Okay, they show him flying on the plane. They show him, they put out the video of him going down the stairs because they're trying to show that how vigorous he is being able to walk downstairs. And then they go to the fast food joint, which is all set up and staged. I mean, the owners of these places all know the Trump campaign are connected. They always have Trump people there waiting to cheer him on. And they act like everything's spontaneous. He acts like he's buying food for them. And we've had reports in the past that these people, he doesn't actually pay sometimes. He orders food, but doesn't actually pay. Sometimes he'll take a bite out of the food, you know, when he's there. This time he ordered 30 milkshakes. And then, you know, he does his event. And then they always have cops at the on the tarmac by the plane, which they'll stage the plane behind the cops. And then so it's literally that same exact thing every single time. And we've also documented, you know, like his fake union rally when he staged that. He went up and he had all those people holding union workers for Trump. And then none of them were union workers, not one. What else? A couple weeks ago, he claimed he did his big migrant crime thing up in Michigan, claimed that he just spoke to the family of the murder victim, Ruby Garcia. They said, no, he never called us. He never talked to him. He stood up there and claimed, this is what the family told me about Ruby. And he went through this whole thing. He was reading from her obituary. Okay. Word for word. Uh-huh. So it was all lie. It was all fake. And this was the same thing. What we found out here was, how did we find out who this woman was? Because Trump posted her name. We didn't know who she was. Nobody did. Trump posted her name on Truth Social. So we immediately jumped in this morning and started figuring out, okay, who is this person? And then we find out she's a Republican political consultant. She's done work with Candace Owens. She's done work with Charlie Kirk. She's an operative. This was all a scam, this whole thing.
I mean, it's like, again, it's not at all shocking because the whole entire thing is based on this facade. It's all based on, you know, the pretense and the lie, like these people, just the general public, he just appears and they all, you know, worship him and bow down to him and they cheer when he enters any room. And it's just like his rallies, like it's all fake. And it's, The fact that you broke this is amazing, right? It's huge. But the fact that MAGA won't even care, like it won't make a dent. The story with Ruby won't make a dent. But we still have to keep telling these stories because, I mean, I think the Ruby story should have been bigger, frankly, because it's disgusting. I mean, it's the opposite of caring. It's using these people as props. And this woman, what's her name? What is her name? She let them use her too. I mean, that's the thing. Like, she's this token black.
She's
woman.
In on it. Yeah, she's right. In on it. Yeah.
And that's the other thing. There's this willingness for people to demean themselves and degrade themselves, which she probably doesn't think she did. But if you're like this token black woman who's saying, I love you and I'm just naturally here in this habitat, you're demeaning yourself.
And they're also acting like the employees were digging him. Well, I mean, what are you going to do? You're a Chick-fil-A employer. The owner is pals with Trump. He tells you Trump's coming. It's a former president. It's a famous person. You're standing behind the counter and he comes up and acts the fool. I'm going to have 30 milkshakes. And, yeah. You know, and they're just standing there like laughing. But they're making that out to be like they're digging him. They're into him. Right. Well, I mean, what are you supposed to do when you're working behind the counter at Chick-fil-A? Punch him in the face?
Exactly. You're supposed to give
it doesn't mean they're going to vote for him.
No. And they are in a tough spot. You know what? They'll probably get fired. God knows what. Or like hated. Who knows? Yeah, you'll see. There'll be some pictures, but you'll see that one person who's like, you know, making like kind of like a face off in the corner. And you're like, that one.
But I've seen that with police, with the police group photos.
Yeah. I was just going to say that. When the police do it. Yep. And I'm like, I'm looking for that one because, you know, that's not right. Like, first of all, isn't that a violation? Are they not allowed really to do that? I mean, it's sort of endorsing a political candidate, but you can see some of them very clearly have been sort of forced into doing it.
Yeah, it's their agencies. This is a problem. It's the politicization of law enforcement, which is what Trump has done, and using them as props and using the military as props, using Secret Service as props. These are supposed to be non-political organizations, but let's face it, a lot of these people are elected sheriffs. They run for elections. They're Republican politicians that run for these jobs. So when they tell their deputies, we're going out to the tarmac, you know, they're going. And they're not going to say anything. I suppose if somebody doesn't want to go, they probably leave him behind.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, these are all staged events. I just wrote an article, actually, an opinion piece for Daily Beast, which will probably be out in a couple days, about how Trump is a fraud with his law and order stuff, and how he doesn't back the blue. And I talk about some of the J6 people that he's pledged to pardon, like Stuart Rhodes and Enrique Tarrio, who have said, like, we're counting on him pardoning us and letting us out of prison next month. Mm-hmm. They're all counting on this stuff. 140 police officers were injured on January 6th. 129 people were charged with assaulting police officers with weapons. And he's pledged to pardon all of them. And you look at Trump's pardons when he was president.
Right.
How many drug traffickers? I documented he pardoned 85 drug traffickers. Mm. Now, he says at his rallies that he wants people who are drug dealers to get the death penalty.
Yeah.
In the meantime, he's pardoned 85 people for drug trafficking, and none of them were approved by the DOJ Office of Pardons. They all went through Jared Kushner. Mm-hmm. You know, they were all so this is supposed to be a law and order guy. And by the way, one of them killed a DEA agent. He was serving a life sentence, and Trump commuted his sentence.
Yeah, and that they were brokered through Kushner to begin with is just, I mean, on its face.
Well, he pardoned Kushner's father.
Of course.
Which, that was another one.
Which, I mean, when you consider what Kushner's father did in setting up his own brother-in-law with a prostitute, basically to seek revenge against or intimidate him out of, and his sister, out of testifying against him. I mean, this is a fucked up family, first of all. And of course, that's why Chris Christie never got a position in the administration, because Jared didn't exactly hold him in very high esteem, et cetera, et cetera. But getting back to your point about Trump and this.
Jared also got Steve Bannon fired, by the way.
He
was the one who insisted that Trump fire Bannon.
Yeah. Well, and that's funny, because I feel like I've heard Bannon sort of badmouth Kushner.
Oh, they hate each other.
Yeah, which is just fine. Let them destroy each other. I honestly hope that they fight to the death somehow. But the law and order thing, not only is Trump promising to pardon the J6 rioters, we'll call them, but I call them terrorists. He's never once, to my mind, maybe you can fact check me here, but he's never once, to my mind, ever expressed any kind of sympathy or appreciation for, or, you know, condolences for, like, the police officers who died. I don't think he's ever expressed anything in favor of the police officers who suffered, who were attacked. In fact, didn't he call them, some of them, maybe the few that did testify, like Harry and Gunnell, like fake actors, or what did he call them, or like crisis actors? I don't know if he said that. But he's never certainly ever expressed any kind of condolences or respect or anything, ever.
I mean, even like a Ted Cruz has said the officers who defended the Capitol were heroes and what they did was brave and all. Even the most ridiculous, terrible people have at least said that.
Yeah.
Trump has never said that. He was the president at the time that a lot of these officers were in the hospital with their injuries, with broken bones and concussions and internal injuries. He didn't visit any of them. He didn't call any of them. He didn't go to anybody's memorial service, like Sick Nick, who died of a stroke a few days later. In fact, he calls the people who beat them up hostages and heroes and has promised to pardon them. So yeah. This is somebody who's backing the blue. No, this is somebody who likes to use police officers for photo ops to project that image. But when you look at how he behaves, let's not forget, too, what role does the federal government play in local policing around the country? Like, what can the president do to actually help local cops? Very little. But what the federal government has done for three decades is community policing grants. Mm-hmm. And they provided tons of extra funding to local law enforcement officers for training and equipment. Trump, his very first budget that he submitted, wanted to cut the community policing funding by 50%. And his next three budgets, he wanted to eliminate the program entirely. Now, a lot of these guys that are standing in these pictures taking photo ops with Trump have been trained with funds from a program he wanted to eliminate.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they love him. They act like they do.
Well, or yeah.
And I think most of them do.
And I think you're right, sadly. And I think that's where we have to get to the bottom of why, which is probably not really that far that we have to dig to get there. But I think
it's a simple answer.
Yeah.
Because Trump, ever since the 80s, has always stood for, if there's one thing that he's been consistent on his whole life, it's police should be able to do whatever they want.
True.
With no reprisals, no repercussions.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be sued or prosecuted. Yeah, exactly. It's the whole Rudy Giuliani, you know, stop and frisk stuff.
Yeah.
Trump loves that. And they like that. His backing the blue is letting them do whatever they want to do.
That's right.
How he backs the blue.
And it's interesting because he isn't subtle about what he actually wants them to be doing. Right. So he doesn't want them to have to follow any rules, much like he doesn't want our military to have to follow any rules. It's rules that are essentially for him the thing that turns him off about these institutions. Right. But when they can go beyond the rules and like they do extrajudicial, et cetera, and serve his needs by being in the military's case, his own personal police force on our streets against riots against him, as we saw in the Shaka Bible Day, you know, he wants to use these institutions for his own personal but benefit. And that sort of also at the same time makes them feel like, well, we're necessary and we're special and like we get empowered to do all these things that we couldn't really do if we follow the rules. And it's interesting because it's like these are people who sign up to serve. And what that means is like public service obviously is to serve a public good, but it gets corrupted and co-opted by someone with bad intentions because he's speaking to this other side of the same intention that's dark, and it works to his benefit and it keeps them on the hook for him. You see it with the military all the time. And again, this is not a person, as you know very well, who supports the troops. Like you could ask, and you talk about this all the time, and I 1000% support you. John Kelly needs to get his act to fucking together and just say something, come out, say it on video, say it to Jake Tapper. Probably Jake actually, because the vets love Jake and Jake is very good to them, and tell the truth about the things he keeps hinting and dropping. And we don't have any audio recordings of, it's just in print about the things that he knows Trump has said about our troops. Like, I don't really get it at Arlington. What was in it for them? As he's talking to John Kelly, whose son died, you know what I mean? Like, so, and again,
and he also knows about the Normandy, why he wouldn't go to the Normandy thing, because it was raining and he didn't want to get his hair messed up.
And the suckers,
this is all stuff that only John Kelly knows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you know, when you tell it to a reporter and he writes it, that doesn't have any impact. You can't use that in a TV commercial.
Right.
So, yes, if John Kelly goes on camera and says this, I think that would be absolutely devastating to Trump. And the Biden campaign would use it in ads. But what he's done right now is kind of a weaselly way. And what these guys always say is, well, you know, military, we shouldn't get involved in politics. This is not really politics. This is just telling the truth about what happened.
Exactly. Exactly. And And you're out of it now. You know, he's not in the military actively anymore. He's not in any political capacity anymore. James Mattis drove me crazy in this way as well. But I also think that they do have a duty. These are men who are talking about Trump being, what's his name? The Esper. I always call him Esperanto because I don't know if you remember Esper. Do you remember when Trump accidentally called him Esperanto in a tweet? So my brain always sees him as Esperanto.
Well, they called him Yesper.
But there is an Esperanto one too, because I was like, Esperanto. But he too, these are men who knew that this was a legitimate threat. Mattis knew, Kelly knew, I mean, Bolton knew, what's his name? The short guy, what's his name? McMaster. I don't even know if he's short. He gives off short energy. He knew, Esper knew, and they didn't say anything in real time. Millie knew, but Millie did something at least, he's going to get executed back. For. Yeah. Right. If Trump gets returned, he's going to execute him for that. But this is like, what is your responsibility to the American people in that moment, right? What, you just going to sit by and hope that he doesn't actually go through with it? And then later sort of hint at it with the press and then not come out full throttle and say, this is what he did, which some of them are. Esper more than others.
Esper has done it
really
the most.
More than others. Yeah.
If Kelly will just do what Esper did, then I think Trump is in deep, deep trouble.
Yeah.
Because I think people will listen to Kelly about that.
Yeah.
And right now, I think there's a significant percentage of people that just don't believe that story. You know, we say it all the time. Well, he called them suckers and losers, and they just say, no, that didn't happen.
Right.
But if Kelly goes on camera, I mean, sure, you're going to have your hardcore MAGA that will say, oh, he's lying too. But I think the general public is going to go, man, this is a four-star general. This is Trump's chief of staff.
Yeah.
Like, this is for real.
And when you add it into the mix of all the others, including, not least of which, his vice president. Yeah. No, I can't in good faith endorse this person to be president. Like, you add it all up and the sum total is a real large chunk of significant players in his administration are like, no, he can't go back.
And yeah, well, I documented a couple weeks ago that only four of the 44 cabinet officials, first of all, having 44 cabinet officials in 4 years is absolutely insane.
Right.
Like, no president has even had half of that many. And he had 44 because, you know, he had four or five in each position constantly. It was constant chaos. But of those 44, only four have endorsed him.
I'm trying to think.
40 have not. What is that, including his vice president?
Right.
I mean, and the other thing you add is there isn't a single Republican former president or former vice president or nominee for president who is supporting him. Cheney, Romney, of course, McCain, but McCain certainly would not. His whole family does not.
Right.
Who else? Bush, Pence.
Quayle hasn't said anything.
Quayle doesn't support him.
He hasn't said anything.
None of them. None of them.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's an anomaly in that way that would, in normal times, even if one of those cabinet members, let's just say it was just Esper or just Bolton or just Barr, who, by the way, is really trying to save his own ass here in terms of history. If it was just one of them, probably I'd say a bar, right? Now, that would be it. Be disqualifying. We wouldn't even be having this conversation because it would be over. People would be like, obviously I can't vote for him. But you take 40 of the 44, including his VP, who he has said publicly, yeah, they were right to want to see him hanged, which is insane. And it's like, how the hell are we here where he's still, people are still like, they're rhinos.
Let me give you a historical example. I mean, baby boomers and Gen Xers will remember this. Dave Stockman, who was Ronald Reagan's first budget director, and he wrote a book when he left. He left in like 84 after like 4 years. And he wrote a book where he was somewhat critical of Reagan and basically acted like Reagan didn't really care about deficits. You know, that was basically the premise of the book, was that to the public, Reagan acted like he was trying to get the deficit under control, but really he mostly cared about tax cuts. And the deficit was definitely not a high priority for him.
Right.
That created a firestorm. I can remember for 6 months, David Stockman was on TV constantly, everywhere. He was considered this huge traitor. It was this huge story. That's just a budget director who had relatively mild criticism of Reagan. Nothing like what these guys are saying now about Trump.
Yeah, but like everything else, I mean, like everything else, somehow the worse it gets for him, the worse it looks, the more proof and evidence there is that he's unfit and should be disqualified. It's like they start canceling each other out so that you have 81 or whatever, how many it is now, felony charges, I forget, because they had some reversed, right? Or taken off in Georgia, I don't even know. But all of those, it's at some point, it's like brow pencil. For a woman, when you're putting on too much brow pencil, at some point you start taking it off. And you're like, oh shit, I just taken off all that brow pencil. And it's like, like all of these different people are starting to cancel each other out in the minds of the public, where I feel like it gets muddied and muddled down into this nebulous thing where no one's really paying attention to the value of it, because it's just like, oh, more of that. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like it makes no sense.
No, I think that we see this all the time in American politics. So many voters are not like us. You know, they're not on social media. They're not watching news shows.
Right.
They're at Little League games and soccer fields and going to work, and they might watch local news and a football game, you know, or cooking shows. And they check in on presidential elections 60 days out, and they kind of watch the debates, and then they make up their mind at that point. So, I think that, and that's why I disregard polls completely.
Oh, yeah.
I never tweet about polls. I never positive polls, negative polls. You're never going to find a poll post from me. Because I just don't buy any of them.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of those people, look, the Biden campaign is very, very smart with what they're doing. And they're running circles around the Trump campaign. There's two things that they've done in the last couple weeks that I think are going to make a huge difference in September, October, which is, number one, they've bought up all the time slots for TV ads, the best time slots. They paid in advance 6 months out. And they locked up all these network time slots. So Trump can't buy them, can't get them. Okay. Smart. Because the Biden campaign had the money to be able to lay out those tens of millions of dollars 6 months ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Trump didn't have the money, so he couldn't do it. And the second thing is, they opened up over 100 field offices all around the country. Mm-hmm. Trump has no field offices, zero. And the Biden campaign is like 115. In swing states. So these are examples. And not only that, they just fired their entire staff at the RNC.
Right.
Everybody's gone.
Right.
And they figured out a few weeks later, oh shit, we need some of these people back. And they contacted them, and a lot of them, a couple dozen, they asked them to come back and give them their jobs back. And virtually every single one said, no, we're not coming back.
You fired us. Right.
We don't want to be part of this. So they're in complete disarray. I mean, he's raising money better now that the primary is over. But, you know, what are they going to do with the money?
Well, that's the thing, too. It's like, now that the RNC is basically just a funnel for money for him exclusively, run by Lara. And I forget that other guy. Is it the long hair guy? Is this a guy? I don't know what guy it is. Some other guy, but it's Lara.
The guy from North Carolina. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, and they keep saying out loud, this is 100% for Donald Trump. Like every penny is going to Donald Trump. It's going to his legal fees too, right? I mean, that whatever's left, I guess, goes to the campaign. I'm not really sure.
So that's got to make like Steve Garvey in California running for Senate feel great, or, you know, the guy running for Senate in Montana. Probably thinking like, am I getting any money? Like, you guys going to help me out here?
Whatever his name is in Ohio, who's running against Sherrod. Yeah. Who's running as a mini Trump. Like, yeah. Sorry.
Dave McCormick in Pennsylvania. He's got enough money of himself. But yeah, the guy running against Sherrod Brown.
Wisconsin.
Bernie Moreno.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how much is the RNC going to help people like that?
Well,
or never mind like people running for state rep or Congress.
Right. And what is the state of his coffers at this point? Because is that number from last week, or what I my weeks were all muddled together. The one where the bazillionaires, there was like 117 of them who were at the fundraiser, and he said he outraised the event with Obama and Clinton. Is that, do you think that that's true?
No.
That number?
I think when by the time the campaign finance reports come out, and people said at the end of the month, well, no, I'm pretty sure it's quarterly for PACs that they report every 3 months, and it's the beginning of the quarter. It's April. So he knows that he could say, throw any number out there, and if he doesn't, if the reports don't come out until July, nobody's going to remember. Except for Midas, you know.
We'll
remember. Yeah. But by then, like, everybody will say, "Oh, no." I think it's a lot. Number one, you think the number's made up, but number two, you have to. He's collecting money for PAC. He's collecting PAC money and campaign money. I don't believe any of the money that he's throwing out there. The numbers he claims that he went up to Atlanta and raised $12 million on that trip to Atlanta, the Chick-fil-A trip.
Uh-huh.
He was meeting with the Home Depot founder and a couple other billionaires up there. That's why he went up there. He went up there to meet with like six billionaires and to collect checks.
But he's
Fox
an everyman
doesn't talk
type.
About that.
No, he's an everyman. Yeah. That trip proved he was at Chick-fil-A. He was with a black girl. I mean, he's an everyman normal guy.
He was on his way to Buckhead.
Right.
And he stopped at Chick-fil-A for 10 minutes to meet Candace Owens' operative.
Right.
But that's all they run with. Yeah.
Yeah. And most of the whatever number it ends up being from that other fundraiser. I mean, it was funny because they talked about how many people were at the Obama Clinton Biden event, which I wasn't at because I was at Billy Joel, which is a good trade-off, but still there was the Radio City was sold out. So all those people is thousands, right? I don't even know how many fit there versus like a handful at the event that Trump had, but the handful that Trump had were billionaires. You know what I mean? And this is your everyman champion, that his money is coming from mega donors, not every guy and, you know, every mom and pa out there. They're sending the $5 donations, like, you know, because he's soliciting them, or he's got them in that automatic thing now where they don't even realize they're sending him money every month. But like, this is not an everyman normal champion for, you know, the working class. And how that's again,
those
not
people
getting
are through. Tapped out. I mean, yeah. he's drained them dry already.
Yeah,
you know.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
But by the way, that Obama Clinton fundraiser for Biden, they had 16,000 people donated that night.
So, right.
Yeah, it's not like six billionaires, right?
Exactly. And that's the thing too, because when you look at those side by side, you're like, okay, where is the greater support? Where really is the groundswell? It's not the handful of billionaires. It's the 16,000. The lowest ticket price was, I think, like $250 or $350 or something like that. So, and then, you know, people could donate online. They could donate for the virtual event, et cetera. Obviously, and we keep seeing that we saw that in the primaries, et cetera. You know, you saw a lot more consolidated support and enthusiasm for Biden than you certainly saw with Trump. And that's something that should be a signal that he has trouble ahead for most people, but they don't seem to want to look at it that way. I don't think
the people he's collecting checks from now, these billionaires, were not supporting him in the primary. These are people that are coming over from DeSantis and Haley that are now like begrudgingly going, all right, this is our guy. You know, we got to back him. He's not our first choice. So, yeah, they're doing it not really because they're enthusiastic about it.
Right. What do you think? Do you, because obviously we're not done hearing from her. What do you think Nikki Haley's next play is here? Because she certainly left the door open for one of two options. I mean, she mostly said that she essentially signaled to me that she would be sending her voters to him. She said he had to earn it, I think, right? Earn their votes, which is like, how are they going to earn his how's he going to earn their votes when you said he wasn't worth their votes? So that's a tricky one. Do you think she's going to full on endorse him at any point? Or do you think she's going to full on say, I can't?
I do not think she's going to endorse him. I think she's going to stay out of it. And I don't think she's going to endorse Biden either.
No.
Because she's not old. I mean, I think that she feels like she has a political future down the road and she's going to run again. And she doesn't want to wreck that. So that if she endorses Biden, that's it. She can never run for anything again. Mm-hmm. She's basically Liz Cheney at that point, you know, and she doesn't want to be Liz Cheney.
Right.
So I don't think she'll do that, but I don't think she'll endorse Trump either. I really don't think so. I think she's going to stay out of it. And, you know, I've said this many times before. I think Democrats need to leave her alone. Stop beating. Same thing with Pence. You know, you know that this aggravates me all the time when Republicans like Cheney, like Kinzinger, like Pence, you know, when they criticize Trump. Democrats need to just take that and be happy with that.
Yeah.
You know, we're not making these guys heroes. We're not praising them. We're not saying we agree with them on everything. But that's not really the time for Democrats to start pushing back, as they always do, activists, and say, but, you know, Adam Kinzinger's sucks on abortion. You know, OK, well, all right. Well, so what? He's not on the Supreme Court. All right. I don't really care what he thinks about abortion.
Right.
He's out there ripping Trump every day. So that's good.
Yeah.
You know, we just have to take what we can get out of these guys. We're not making them heroes.
Yeah.
You know, but they're helping us.
No, I agree with you 100%. And I will say that while I don't think that most of them are going far enough, and I think it would be very helpful if an Esper, who has really little to lose at this point, would have said a vote for Biden. I will say that, you know, there are some where I'm definitely more resistant to saying, oh, I'm just glad he's out there, which is Chris Christie, looking at you, buddy. I just can't fucking stand him, but that's personal. But like, I think for a Mike Pence, honestly, Mike Pence has had these moments where, no, he's not a hero, nor should we celebrate him as a hero. But given the environment and what his peers are doing and the pressure for him to do what his peers are doing, including on January 6th, but also coming out on national television and saying, I cannot endorse him for president. That, I hate using the word brave, but it did require some courage. I mean, this is not a good dude. I'm not saying he's a good dude, but like, because his positions on, you know, LGBTQ rights is, they're pretty extreme. But like, at least I can say you did the right thing. And that's the bar. Thank you for doing the right thing. I do think.
On that. Yeah.
Yeah. On that. And same with Liz Cheney, who I will never agree with on 99.9% of anything she ever says or believes. But this is not the time for those arguments and debates because we have one debate to have right now. One argument.
I mean, contrast that with DeSantis, for example.
And right.
Trump has beat up on DeSantis more than them. I mean, he has accused DeSantis of being a pedophile. He regularly hangs out with Trump, regularly hangs out with Laura Loomer and has her at his events all the time. Laura Loomer constantly pushes the story that Casey DeSantis faked her cancer and never really had breast cancer. So, and Trump hangs out with her and wanted to hire her until everyone in his campaign threatened to resign, you know?
Yeah,
so, and what is DeSantis doing? Endorses him, and now he's doing a big fundraiser for him. I mean, think about how much, after being called pudding fingers, you know, the Trump made rip DeSantis every single day like nobody else. Mm-hmm. And now DeSantis is going to raise money for him.
Yeah.
I mean, you just have to have no shame.
Well, add them to that long line of people who have just they're all down there supping at his underballs. Like it's like a Lindsey Graham, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio. They're all trying to get that prime taint spot where they're like, no, that's my Nifkin. And it's like, dude, what is wrong with you guys? Like, I'll never understand it. This is another one I'll never understand. And I know I sound like a broken.
Because they all want to be. Those are people. The names you just rattled off all want to be president.
What? Well, right,
including DeSantis,
and not a one of them has a path. Not a one of them has a path. And this no,
but they think they do.
Right, but I'm going to keep saying taint suckers because that's really what it is. The more they do that, the less likely it is that anyone will be like, "Yeah, you're the guy." Because even the like most diehard MAGA know that those fuckers are cowards, right? They no one is going to be flying a Ted Cruz flag. No one's going to be flying a Lindsey Graham flag. No one's going to be storming the Capitol for Marco Rubio. This is not going to happen. Like that zombie horde will never be theirs. Like if it's not Trump, it's going to just, I don't know, like ooze into the like soil, and I don't know, it's just gonna go away or evaporate into the air or start cannibalizing themselves. I don't know, they're never gonna be their people. That's the thing, that's just so stupid, especially
but they Rubio. Think they think so,
yeah,
they think they can win them over, but you're right, yeah. MAGA can't stand any of them. They don't like any of them
because they don't chum the waters authentically enough with, you know what I mean, yeah. they're not genuinely.
I mean, they like Tucker Carlson. They like Don right. Jr. They like people like that. They that don't like hurt. Ted Cruz right. or Rubio.
Because even when those guys try to do the disgusting, like just this no fucks given about just how repugnant they can be, it always comes off as like, you're not really saying the things that you're thinking. Like you're trying to be awful. And it's not like, it's almost like a sales pitch. Like, oh, I am racist. Look at me. I'm not saying they're not racist, but they're just not selling it as authentically as the MAGA base really wants them to. And it's like, they really want, you know, WWE chair slamming top yeah. rope. Like that's what they want. And those guys are too refined to give them that.
The MAGA base would vote for Michael Flynn for president before yes. they would vote for any of those guys.
Right. Yeah, I'm trying to think who else in MAGA.
That's where
Jim
they're
Jordan
at.
Or Jim Jordan.
Jim Jordan, maybe a Josh Hawley, maybe. They could go for somebody like that.
I don't know.
But even that's a stretch because I think they think he's kind of a nerd.
He's kind of a pussy, right? Like, and right. frankly, yeah. I mean, he is. But yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that like satisfies that same
Tucker is probably the main one, I
which
would
is,
say.
But that's the funny thing too, because that's also, it's not an act, but this is a fish stick air that like this guy's biggest personal crisis is when it's like bidet breaks. I mean, this is not a person they can actually relate to, except for on that one thing, which is that he is genuinely hateful. Like
yeah.
he genuinely hates who they hate. And that's like, that's it. So I guess that's enough, but you're right. They do. They love him, which is like, ooh, and he hates them. Whatever. I want to pivot for one quick second before we do the last section, because I want to talk about the trial that starts on Monday.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So the hush money trial, Trump could not get out of this one. And he tried. I don't know how many times did he try to push this one back? Like yep. four times? I don't know. And then he tried. Didn't he try to have this one dismissed also?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, somebody made a good point. Alvin Bragg has made this point, and but some of my followers did, too. And, you know, I don't like when people tell me what words to use, you know,
yeah.
especially on the left when they try and use this language, not this language. You know, I'm definitely not into that. You
no.
know, and I push back a little on
that's
that.
That's
what
stuff. We like about you. Yeah.
But they made a good point, and I'm convinced that they're right on this, which is we have to stop calling it a hush money trial, which I've done many times.
Okay. I'm listening
too. Yeah. We need to call this an election interference.
Okay. Case. You're right.
And that's what Alvin Bragg is going to say in his opening statement. His prosecutor is going to say that this is not about hush money. It's about election interference because this money was paid. Look, this happened in 2011.
Yeah.
And they didn't pay her this money to make her go away in 2011 or 2012, because Trump's defense is that this was not the money was not paid to her for political reasons.
Right.
Trump's defense is that the money was paid to protect his marriage. Uh-huh. Right. This is his defense at trial. OK, right. This is what a lot of people don't know. That Trump's defense is going to be that this money was not paid for political purposes, which would be a crime. It was done to save his marriage.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is, why was it paid 2 weeks before the election?
Right.
You know, if the point was to keep her quiet so Melania wouldn't leave him, mm-hmm. that would have been done a long time before. You wouldn't wait until 2 weeks before the election to pay, right? Right. So clearly the counter argument, and that's why Alvin Bragg says it's not really a hush money case. It's an election interference case. It's paying somebody off who's about to come forward right before your election on the heels of the Access Hollywood tape. That's the other important key point here,
mm-hmm.
which mm-hmm. is when you put a Stormy Daniels 2 weeks had sex with a porn star right after Melania gave birth, right after Access Hollywood, that probably would have been it for Trump. So this really was an election interference bribe is really what it is. So
yeah,
I think you could call it a combination of hush money and election interference if you like the hush money title.
I mean, that makes sense. It makes total sense, especially since Trump's out there calling every one of these, cases against him election interference, even though all of the investigations were open long before he ever announced his candidacy. But there's another component to that defense that they have, which is that Trump wouldn't have had to hide this payment to Stormy with Michael Cohen. He wouldn't have had to try and figure out a way to disguise it as something else or to, you know, keep it off the books if it was something that it was for Melania, because Melania would have never known that he paid Stormy any money. She wasn't auditing his business records. She wasn't looking at his business ledger. She would have never known. No one would have known to look for that. So why he hid it doesn't make any sense either in the idea that he was doing it to protect the fidelity of his marriage. It's just on its face and very easily disprovable, but he doesn't have a valid defense because he did the things that he's being accused of doing, which is election interference. So several questions on that real quick. We're going to have Hope Hicks testifying, right? We're going to have Stormy and Karen McDougal, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, Michael's coming back, I believe. Cohen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Who
that's
are
my
you?
Biggest, that's my biggest concern.
Yeah. Well, another one of the prongs of their defense is that they can discount any testimony coming from Michael because he's a proven liar. He lied to Congress. He was only lied to Congress for Donald Trump, went to prison for lying to Congress for Donald Trump. But they're saying you can't listen. They tried this, though. Didn't they try this in the business fraud case, too, to discredit him as a witness? And it didn't work. And it didn't work with that judge.
It didn't work because there was a lot of corroboration, just as that's the problem here.
Yeah.
Now the other possible defense that they could float, which is a very real possibility, because I've seen this being bandied about too, is that Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen were having an affair, and that the money that Cohen paid to Stormy Daniels was to keep her quiet to save his own marriage. Okay. Uh-huh. So I don't know if they're actually going to use that at trial, but that's something that Trump has brought up. You know, his allies have posted that on social media claiming that Cohen had an affair. And actually Cohen DM'd me about that because I posted it, what they claimed. And then he's like, he was furious. You know, he was really upset about that. He's like, where is this coming from? This is a new one.
Yeah.
So look, here's the deal about, first of all, you know, Trump wants to make this like, it's all about Michael Cohen, just like he tried to make the fraud case, but it's really not. I mean, yeah, Michael Cohen is the central figure here, but there's so much corroboration around that to back up what he's saying. Mm-hmm. But yes, it is my concern because Michael can be very high strung.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, I know.
And he can also tend to minimize his own culpability. And I think when Michael is at his best is when he comes clean and when he says, I fucked up and this is what I did and I was wrong and I shouldn't have done that. When he has those moments, I think he's at his best and he's most believable. But I have seen him in interviews, and his last book tended to try and deflect a little bit and minimize a little bit. When he does that, that is not Michael Cohen at his best. And, right. and I'm hoping that's not the Michael Cohen we're going to see at trial.
Yeah, no, I know. I experienced that personally. And it's difficult to navigate that when you've got Michael Cohen who can steamroll you when he wants to. And that's not that I love Michael. I'm not saying that I don't. But, you know, that's a difficult conversation to have because you're like, I can't get a word in here. And then he's gone. But I think in these cases, he's proven himself typically to be more the former. I don't know which direction you put it, but I think he can pull it off. I think he can. So I'm going to go with that. And I'm also very curious to see what Hope Hicks has to say and how honest and forthcoming she is, because she does know where a lot of the bodies are buried. And if Michael Cohen had an affair with Stormy Daniels and Donald Trump didn't, Hope Hicks would know that. And of course, Stormy would know that. And I don't think Stormy's going to pull any punches on the stand. I can't fucking wait for that.
I have no concerns about Stormy.
No.
As much as I'm worried about Michael Cohen,
yeah,
I have no concerns about her.
No. I just want to know what Stormy's going to wear, because I just thought, whatever, I'm a girl. But also, I just want to see, like, fucking Trump sitting there. I hope she walks in. Like, I really hope she walks in looking like...
I think she's going to be fantastic. And she'll get the most media coverage.
Yeah.
It's a shame it's not televised. You know, it's a bummer that New York does not televise trials. They're in the dark ages.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of a bummer. Although, you know, on the other hand, with Trump, you know, he might be trying to put on a show and stuff. We definitely know he will not testify. I mean, if we know something with metaphysical certainty, he will not. We know two things. He'll show up and he will claim that he is going to testify.
Right.
And then he will not.
And he'll say
two things we know.
He'll say somehow he was prevented from being able to speak.
Somehow,
but he'll give tons of the accordion hands speeches outside the courtroom. And I'm the victim and it's all hoax. And that I'm doing this. They're indicting me. They're charging me with these crimes for you. Yes, I had sex with that porn star when my wife was home with my newborn son for you. And then I paid her to be quiet about it 2 weeks before the election for you. So, yeah, he'll go outside and say all that shit.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
If we polled MAGA people, let me ask you this. Let me ask you, okay. What percentage of them, if we went to a Trump rally and we said, do you believe that Trump had sex with Stormy Daniels? What percentage of them would say that they believe that they had sex?
15?
10? Yeah, it's about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I know
it's a real small number.
I did the opposite of the number of people who thought that Joe Biden was president. So like I went with that number essentially. Yeah.
It's about 10 or 15%.
Right.
Yeah. They absolutely do not believe that this happened. Yeah.
We could have a videotape of it. And they would say it didn't happen if he told them it didn't happen. Because was it you that pointed it out? I forget. This is the thing. He's now telling us that he never said he wanted to repeal Obamacare. This is a new thing. Ugh. He never said he wanted a federal ban on abortion or that he was proud of the Dobbs. Like, this is what he does. He says the thing. Doesn't have to be true. He said he didn't say Mexico was going to pay for the wall. I mean, it's like fucking bonkers. And they're like, oh, okay, sure. You didn't fuck that porn star. Okay. No, adult, adult entertainer. Sorry, I should probably get used to that too.
Because they always point to that, to the NDA. I mean, the thing that he had her sign,
right?
Denying it, which they're already taunting her with that on social media. You know, yeah. They're tagging her and posting that. Yeah. And I just saw her because I love Stormy Daniels. I followed her for a long time, and I've told you, she's like the one person I want on Twitter to follow me that
Stormy,
doesn't follow me.
Follow him, Stormy. Please.
I don't want to like shamelessly though, like people do with Mark Hamill. You know?
Oh yeah,
like,
no, we got to get Stormy
shamelessly. Like, please follow me.
We got to get Stormy love to me. Follow you.
But I do follow her religiously, and she was like, she just added, she just responded. She's like, I'm ready for that at trial. You're not going to like my answer about that.
You yeah. know? You cannot shame Stormy. She doesn't give up. Fuck. Like, no. She's like, yeah, and? Well, you're a porn star. You've been married four times. Yeah, and? Like, yeah. What the fuck is your point? Like, I know exactly who I am.
And that's a great way to testify. I mean, yeah. When somebody has a lot of dirt on you and the witness, because I've cross-examined thousands of people in court, you know?
Yeah.
And when you got a lot of dirt on somebody and the witness tries to deny and deflect, that's why I'm worried about Cohen, and yeah. tries to or minimize. That's what you want as a cross-examiner. Mm-hmm. But Stormy will just sit there and go, yeah, here's why I did that. Here's why I said that.
Yeah. Yeah,
she owns it.
Yeah.
And that's the best witness. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So exciting. I cannot wait for next week. By the way.
And here's the final thing on that. If, you know, is everybody's used to like he, including Donald Trump has been involved in 4,200 lawsuits in his life, which is like 4,000 more than anybody else in the world, right? Yeah. He's the most litigious. That's why it's a joke to me when he talks about weaponizing the court system. There is no one in the history of the world yeah. who has ever weaponized the legal system like Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And those 4,200 lawsuits are half of them are him suing people.
Yeah.
You know, they're not all him getting sued.
No.
But what he doesn't understand, this is his first criminal trial. All those were civil. And in criminal court, he can't just dip in and dip out. You know, I'll show up today. I won't show up tomorrow. He has to be in that seat every single day, all day long, until this is over, which could be weeks. So think of Donald Trump spending 3 or 4 weeks every single day, 8 hours a day in court. That's going to drive him completely bonkers.
Oh, my God. I mean, that is, it's going to be like a caged animal, not to mention yes. his diaper is going to be on double duty.
Yes.
But he's
never had to do that before.
Right. Well, I mean, it flies in the face of everything that he wants, that he believes he should be able to do, which is whatever the fuck he wants, whenever the fuck he wants. And no one can tell him not to.
Yep. Not now, this time. No. This is not Engoron where he can come in, sit there for an hour and then leave and talk shit. He's got to be in that seat all day, every day.
He's the criminal defendant in this case, yeah. and they don't have options. It's not an a la carte menu. You get the whole buffet. You got to sit there yeah. and take all the shit that comes with it. I hadn't even thought of that. Like, I mean, I don't know how he's going to get his Adderall bumps on time, because I don't know whether they have scheduled breaks and shit. He's not going to be able to just get up and go to the bathroom every 5 minutes. This is going to be fun. Oh, my God. And his face makeup's going to get even worse and like, ugh.
Of course, he's going to come out and say, this is what they want. You know, yeah. this is what Biden wants to yes. tie me up here.
Yes, exactly. So, which, yeah, again, this investigation was launched long before Biden was in the picture.
Years ago.
Right. Yeah. And so it certainly has nothing to do with Joe Biden. Marge Green said they just want him to die in some random jail. And it's like, Biden just wants him to die. And it's like, well, no, that's not Biden necessarily. Some other people. Okay, real quick, we're going to do my rapid fire random question round before I let you go and take my daughter to the orthopedist for her thumb injury, which she punched her brother. And Nia now needs to know 8 weeks later if she can play softball. So are you ready, Ron?
I'm ready.
Okay. Question one. Why did God make an earthquake happen in New Jersey?
You know, this is crazy. You know, of course I monitor right wing, and yes, there was a lot of those right wing conspiracies out there about the fact that God did this because he's upset about all these court cases in New York
yeah.
against Trump. That was one reason. And what was the other? Just that it's generally a liberal area and a liberal state. So God just doesn't like New Jersey and New York.
It's not, though. That part of New Jersey, yeah. This part of New Jersey is not.
The thing is, the craziest tweet from a member of Congress, not surprisingly, came from Green. You know, Marge Green put out a nutty tweet where she basically said that.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, she's just gaslighting us. She's just doing this for clicks. But then her boyfriend came out with a video a few hours later and went even further than her. And so that clearly shows that they legitimately think that was done by God.
Yeah. Yeah. And Brian his name?
Was Brian,
his name?
Yeah.
Brian mentioned locusts, too, because we have the sex craze.
And
STD.
He was dead serious.
Yeah. Well, because the sex craze STD zombie cicadas are coming. And so they're like, that's another sign that this is all God's. But let's just talk about this for a minute, because, again, this is my neck of the woods where this happened, because essentially the epicenter was more or less was Trump National. It was Bedminster. It was this little town called White House, which is right up White House Station, which is really right down the road from me, where Mallory McMorrow is from. Mallory McMorrow, the state senator in Michigan that went viral. But it's this teeny tiny little town that you essentially have to go through if you're trying to get to Bedminster from that direction. And my son's baseball plays out there all the time. So it's Bedminster. So God wanted us all to learn a lesson about repenting by making the epicenter of a bigger earthquake in New Jersey the back nine of Trump National. It's like, I wonder if God was mad. Like, why would he do Mad Libs? Why would he do it there? Like, that's kind of strange.
Ivana's ashes are buried there. I mean, maybe that has something to do with it.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I will say one weird thing happened to me, which all the trolls can, if they got this far in the podcast, will enjoy. So I was sitting on that white couch and on the phone with the oil company, and the whole house started shaking like it was a Jiffy Pop. And I was like, well, I said something's happening. And one thing flew off the shelf, and I'm pointing, but if you're not watching this and you're listening to it, I'm pointing to a picture that's a white frame around it, like a white border that used to have a picture frame, and it was a real frame. And then it flew off the shelf and shattered glass everywhere. And that's my picture with Biden.
Oh, man, you just launched a bunch of new conspiracies.
As crazy as that sounds.
I shouldn't have said that. Now you're going to have all this stuff out there.
Right? JoJo's picture with Biden. It is a sign.
You're going to have Daily Caller and Postmillennial and OAN doing stories about that.
I did send it to all my friends, and I was like, nothing else. But then later, a thing of parchment paper fell off the shelf just because it was leaning and I hadn't noticed it. So I feel better about things. But anyway, that was really random. Question two. Which Republican member of Congress has the raunchiest internet search history?
You know, I don't want to keep – Boebert?
Yeah.
You're thinking of a guy, though, aren't you? You weren't thinking of a woman.
Well, I'm actually thinking it might be Mike Johnson.
That's very possible.
Yeah.
That's very possible, but I'm not really sure that he really knows how to use the internet. That's the only thing. he might, you know, they might keep it real back to the olden times.
Pictures. Actually,
I mean, Boebert's can't be great.
No.
You know, it can't be great, but of course, George Santos would have been a good guy to put out there. Josh Hawley definitely could be in that mix.
Ted Cruz, too. Ted
Cruz would use like a burner, though. He wouldn't use like his own. He's probably got like a special computer that he only uses for porn, you know, like with an IP address registered to his daughter or something.
His dog.
Snowflake's computer.
Snowflake 6969 is Ted Cruz's burner.
Right. I mean, there's probably a whole bunch of them that are pretty shady people.
Yeah. Matchlap is not a member of Congress.
Of course, you always go with like who accuses the other people of that kind of stuff the most. And that would be Tim Burchett. Tim Burchett is from Tennessee, is the one who's always accusing other people of doing like coke sex orgies and stuff. You know.
Yeah. He's the one who has a strange amount of inside information on
these he's always making orgies. These claims. Yeah.
Other people are getting, compromised on them by going to these,
So usually it's those guys, who are accusing other people.
Yeah. And he's got some, I don't know what's up with that dude, but he might be in some trouble legally too. And you kept calling that as well, where he kept that tweet up where he accused
He is getting sued.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah.
That you called that. You were like, this. He's still got this fucking tweet up. He's going to get, so for everybody else, he named someone essentially, right, as the shooter in the Kansas City Chiefs celebratory day because he had dark skin. And
who accused him of being a migrant.
Right. Publicly.
who is a guy who was being arrested for and being public intoxication. Accused him of being a mass shooter. Yeah.
I hope that guy gets a lot.
He'll never apologize.
No. That's the thing. Once you do that, then you're a pussy and they think you're being weak. You just have to double down on the
MAGA doesn't apologize.
No,
right?
Just double down on the hate. Okay, last one. Which appliance do you think Joe Biden has the best chance at swinging his way? Is it dishwashers, dryers? I'm worried we're going to lose the whole appliance suite because this is a top issue for Republicans. Big appliance has them in their pocket right now. I don't know which one we're going to swing by.
I know that Kamala has a gas stove. So I'm going to say that has to be protected first.
Yeah. Well, okay.
And she has a really nice one.
Because she cooks on it on Thanksgiving. Yeah.
I'm going to say that that's got to be protected at all costs. her gas stove.
I think that
the Republican effort to save appliances, isn't that today? I think that's today or tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
protect them from the Marxist libs.
Didn't it's called hoo-ho or what is it like? Because there's an acronym for the hands off HOA, hands off my appliances. HOMA. What is it? It's like hands off our appliances, HOA or something. HOA. Yeah, this is what they're focused on. There's apparently an invasion at the border, but they're like, no, we need to protect the liberty of laundry. That's what we need to do. And that is an actual quote, liberty of laundry. This is what they're focused on, right? Because that's totally normal.
And it always drives me crazy when they, like, one person says one thing, and then they create an entire industry. Like, just let me just give you because that was just like one, the gas stove thing was just one, like, mid-level bureaucrat in the Biden administration wrote something in a position paper saying, like, in 25 years, we need to consider phasing out gas stoves because they're fire hazards, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And it was just like the Biden administration wants to take gas stoves. And it's like one guy.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with Ralph Northam, who was the governor of Virginia, who was also a physician, who gave the clip about the 9th month abortions, where he said he was talking about the procedure in an interview one time. And he said that, he said these are only done when the fetus is not viable. The fetus has very serious birth defects and is going to die within a few days after it's born. Mm-hmm. In those 1 in a million scenarios, you'd have a 9th month termination of a pregnancy. But and he talked about that. And what they did is they cut out all the beginning of that clip. And they only post him talking about the procedure.
Yep.
Trump posted that clip a few days ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just like one person says one thing and that becomes all Democrats want abortion in 9 months.
Yeah. They take the baby out after it's born. They take it out. Then they have the abortion after the baby is born.
The most gentle way he could. He was describing the procedure and under what circumstances it happens.
Yeah.
And of course, what they said is now Trump says this is what all Democrats want.
Yeah, exactly. And because it's a culture war, because they don't have anything else to run on, they have no policies. I mean, they're running on saving dryers. This is what they do. It has to be a culture war. It has to be about the stuff that's also not true, so they can fear monger. Like, and scare people into thinking maybe that is true. I don't know. Maybe they do kill them at, you know, 2 and 3 years old. I don't know. Maybe it's like on demand abortion. Just go and get one whenever you want, even if you're not pregnant. It's ridiculous, but whatever works for them, because they need to have them believing something that, like the border, like with Katie, what's her face, Britt, you know, that whole story she lied to, like he lied about Ruby, but fear mongering and making shit up is just what that's all they have. So they don't have any policy or platform. They're not promising to do anything or deliver anything for the American people. Just fear.
Yep.
Yep.
Fear of migrants, fear of crime. Yeah. I mean, just that's all it is. Fear that they're going to take your stove.
Yeah.
It never ends.
Nope.
There'll be a new one tomorrow, a new scare tomorrow.
Exactly. And they're the only ones talking constantly about how America
World sounds. War III is about to happen.
Boots on the ground. Did you know we want boots on the ground in Ukraine? Yeah. That's like our dream. It's our wet dream. Can you please put our men and women in harm's way?
There's about to be a terrorist attack any day.
Which they would love. You know, they would love one. That. That's
they're,
the thing.
They're hoping for that.
Right. Yeah. This is a group of people who calls themselves America First, that they love America, that the libs hate America. Meanwhile, I'm flying an American flag outside of my house and praying to God that, like, we're always safe and we don't get a terrorist attack. And they're like, please, 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 let's leave that border open. Let's leave it open, open, open. Maybe Muslim will come in and people will have, you know, Gaza all over again. Like, this is like.
Well, that's why they're against the FISA renewal.
Right.
Because that's specifically what that is for, is to stop terrorist attacks.
Yeah. What? Right. And so, but they can't have that because they're rooting for one so that they can say, look, see, that didn't happen under Trump. Yeah. Oh, just like earthquakes and eclipses didn't happen under Trump. Although, right, we have plenty of evidence to the contrary. Well, thank you again, Ron, for coming on. I always love talking to you. I could talk to you all day. We didn't even touch like half the subjects I was going to talk to you about, like Melania's fake award about kids. But that we'll get to that next time, because I'm just thinking, like, who gave a fuck about Christmas and decoration? And she's like supposed to be like the advocate for children. But we'll get to that next time. Thank you. And I'm very much looking forward to your stories next week with the coverage of the not hush money trial, the election interference trial, because that is going to be fun. Let's see how
the right words now.
We need to have like a drinking game for like how unraveled he'll become by the end of this. Like, I feel like I need full on like fecal matter. I feel like I need just dripping down his legs, and they'll be satisfied. Maybe a little bit. But that is something to stay tuned for. And what day is Stormy? We don't know what day Stormy is testifying, probably yet.
I would think it's going to be close to the beginning.
Yeah.
Like it'll be like day one or day two.
All right. Let's go. Okay. Well, again, thank you, Ron. I always love having you on. I love talking to you. We will be looking for your stuff on MidasTouch.com. This always, but certainly next week with the trial and all of the trials coming up. And also in the Daily Beast, looking for that op-ed on Trump being not the law and order president at all. So I'll be looking forward to that too. And then, of course, you have your podcast with Anthony Davis, which is
Uncovered. Uncovered.
Uncovered, right. And I now know Anthony, and thank you for introducing me to him, although I'm sure he's not grateful because I'm annoying as fuck, as you know, and I don't leave him alone either. So Anthony, that's Ron's fault. But he doesn't like peanut butter, so he can fuck off. Okay. Well, with that.
I didn't know that.
I told you. See, I annoyed issues. You with it. Yeah, I know. This is.
He just started a fight.
Yeah, he's English, and we can grant him a little bit. Okay, well, that does it for this episode of the Are You Effing Kidding Me podcast. Thank you so much again, Ron. This will be airing on Saturday, 12:30 Eastern on YouTube and Spotify and all the places. And yeah, have a great week, and we will see you guys next time. Thanks, Ron.
Got it.
Are You Effing Kidding Me is a production of the Political Voices Network. Please visit us at politicalvoicesnetwork.com.